Alrighty, alrighty, alrighty.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. I hope everyone is having a beautiful Sabbath day, as it is here in my neck of the woods. That temperature has definitely dropped. It has big time. And before I continue, I want to kind of touch on something that Brother Bill has posted here about Little Light. That particular channel, I used to frequent that a lot because of some of the topics they would have. But I'm saying this lightly. Don't just kind of I don't know how I can word this, because I've sat down with my children and we've looked at certain episodes, and my kids will point out things. They'll point out things. They'll see something, whether or not different logos or the presentation in general. And the one thing that got me as far as Little Light, and don't get me wrong, they do an excellent job when it comes to the things they do with Hollywood, as far as some of the actors, the actresses, a lot of the cartoons, they do a very, very good job there. But what got me is the amount of the selling. And it was when you see a lot of those episodes when they begin, it's a lot of buy this, buy that. Like, why is they doing all this advertising concerning a lot of the merchandise that they hold on their website? And one thing that kind of drawn me was if you take a real good look at their logo. You're going to see something. You're going to see it. So I don't know if you were aware of it. Just take a real good look at it. Now, don't get me wrong. With everything out there, you got to do your due diligence. You have to. You have to do your own research. But these are just my own personal observations. Because I do a lot of channel surfing on YouTube, just find things to comment about, find things I can share with my children, and we came across Little Light. And again, they do have a lot of good presentations. They do, but again, you have to be very, very careful with those. Just be very careful. I'm not here to discourage, just here to, bring awareness, so to speak. Bring awareness. They do have a lot of good presentations. They really, really do. But again, you look at that logo, you'll see what I'm talking about. And you might raise an eyebrow, so to speak, at will. And if you haven't seen it, I guess I'll kind of screenshot it and I'll post it in the Telegram. I'll post it there for you to see. And then you might be able to make a determination on whether you want to continue with them or not. No discouragement. I'm just, bringing awareness to the channel. So I just saw that in the room, and I just wanted to kind of bring it up while the topic was already present about Little Light. And there's so many different things that you can view that me and my children have come across. There's one channel called Bible Project that we was going at, and these guys are giving like different breakdowns of different channels. But again, you go through, you look, and you'll see something like, I don't know about that. It just doesn't line up with scripture. And my voice sounds kind of shaky just because I just came home. I went to Mississippi for Thanksgiving. And when you get around family, everybody's just hooping and hollering. Oh, I haven't seen you in so long, and some of the family members I haven't seen in years. So, just totally breaking the CDC guidelines of no shouting and all of that craziness. I'm like, never in all my years, I never would think that something like that would even be proposed to tell people that you're going to have to wear a mask, or have your dinner outside and And it did feel kind of uneasy in the beginning. You know, when I went home and seeing some of my family members, you know, you can tell who kind of get it, and you can tell those who are more inclined with what they're being shown on television, because, you know, a few of them did have the mask on. But it also gave an opportunity to kind of talk about it, you know, not in a demeaning way, but, you know, just with me, I always kind of bring like laughter to the subject, because that kind of gives you a way to open up a door. And it also gave an opportunity to talk with one of my cousins, the one I've been talking about here, who we've been sharing a lot. And I guess he kind of sees what I have been sharing with him, and that's kind of opened up a door for us to have our discussions. And before we did have dinner, we was able to have a little small talk. And then he pulled me to the side, and he was like, well, Andre, what do you think about leading the Thanksgiving prayer? And I know when it comes to my family, this is something that we've done since I can even remember. We've always stood and joined hands around the table. So the enemy was coming very, very, very quick. He came so quick. He was like, well, what are you going to do? I'm like, the thought was there for maybe half a second. It's like, you know what? No. I don't care if the whole entire family is standing right here and they're standing. You know what you have to do. You know exactly what you have to do. And right there, right there, we're going to kneel. We are going to kneel. For we bless this food, we're going to kneel. So you look for those opportunities, and when you are tested, when you are tested, as many of you are on a daily basis, when you are tested, it's time to glorify our God. And I was very, very thankful for that opportunity, for my cousin to come forth with me with that, to lead the family in a prayer. And it was pretty good to be able to get around loved ones that I haven't seen in a long, long time, to be able to gather, to be able to eat. And then we'd hit the road Friday morning. And I was trying to leave early. I was trying to leave very, very early to hit the road and be back here at a reasonable hour to be able to get some preparations done. But between my grandma and some of my aunts, that they kept coming up with reasons to try to get me to stay, because a few haven't seen me and my kids in a while. And then one of my stepbrothers, he had came into town, and he hadn't seen me since like 2003. So he had came in and he had spoke with me, and we just got to talking. But every time I'd try to get ready to leave, something else would happen. Something else would come up, and someone would have approached me and was like, just stay for a little while. So eventually I got ready to hit the road. And me and the kids, we got on the road, and right before we got out of the Mississippi border, we had seen this huge big rig, like it skewed off the road, skewed off the interstate, and you could see like these heavy tracks where this thing had, I guess it went in kind of heavy, I don't know if it had brakes, I don't know if it just slammed on the brakes and it couldn't regain control, but it had went, I would say, about a good 50 to 60 feet off the interstate and plowed right into a fence. Now, when me and the kids, when we approached it, it had just happened. So you could see the debris all over the interstate, and I guess pieces from the front of the truck, because it hit it pretty hard. And we just looking like, oh man, I hope the driver's okay. Now he's in a big rig, so obviously it's pretty, he's gonna be fine. But I took a quick pitch and I said, sent to my brother, because he's also a truck driver. And I said, do you know anything about this, man? Because I guess it's just happening. You know anything about the freight line or the company that you might want to check in, because this is pretty serious. So continued on to my travels, and I stopped at a rest stop, and I waited for him to give me a response. And about 10 minutes later, he had sent me a message, and he was like, "Andre, did you see the car that was under the truck?" And I'm like, "No, I did not see the car. I did not see it. I just kind of rode on by." And it was quite many people that were there who had pulled over. I guess it, you know, it just happened when I pulled by. And so I did not see the car. And like, "No, there was a car underneath that truck." And then that's when he let me know that the people that was inside that vehicle, there were three people in that vehicle. And every single one of them perished. Every single one of them. And that kind of took me back, because I kept thinking, like, "Lord, what if that was us?" What if that was us? The weather was coming, was kind of shaky. It was raining. And every time I got ready to leave, something just said, you know, just stay. Either to my aunts or my grandma or someone. But it really took me back. It really, really did. Just thinking about that and what could have been the possibility if me and my children, you know, continued on our journey at our set time. So definitely praying for those families, because when you showed me that picture, that car, I had no idea. It just looked like the debris from the truck, but I literally had no idea that there was a car pinned underneath that big rig. And the families that, from what he had sent me on the text message, that he said there were three people that had perished, and I guess there were three more that had to be airlifted to the local hospital there. I don't know their condition, but if I get any word, I'll post that telegram. We'll definitely be praying for those families, because I had no idea that there was any kind of vehicle underneath that truck. And it was kind of weird, after we had passed through, that we didn't just encounter that much traveling on the road. I guess when it comes like a day after Thanksgiving, you'll see a lot of Americans, they're going back to their various destinations to do them to return home either Friday, or a lot of them they go back on Sunday afternoon. We just didn't see that much. We didn't see that much, but what we did see was a lot of lines for food. Saw a lot of that Wednesday when I came in. There's a lot of people who are waiting in turn to get like food boxes or go to various food banks. And I did not know that this was going on nationwide. Well, I've seen some articles, I guess also in Texas, New Jersey, where a lot of people are standing in these lines, some maybe like 8, 9, 10 hours at a time, they're just waiting on food boxes because, they can't either afford the food, or because of COVID, they've lost their jobs, they've become unemployed, they're losing their homes. What this whole, pandemic has done to society as a whole, and just reshaped wealth, reshaped incomes, everything has went through a total shift. I mean, in my entire lifetime, I've never seen anything like this. Anything like this. Well, there's like millions and millions upon Americans that don't even have enough to eat right now. Or the claims of unemployment. I think the last time I looked, it was like almost 70 million. 70 million. And again, you look at the long lines for people who are just waiting to get something to eat. And I got to thinking about socialism. I got to thinking about how they cultivate the mindset for Americans to accept these long lines. And they were already doing it with the drive-thrus. They were already doing it with the fast food. I think I talked about this about a couple of weeks ago. I mean, when a lot of these restaurants where you can't go into the lobbies, but as far as like picking up food and things like that, well, you have to go through the drive-thru. You have to go through the drive-thru, and you have to wait there to get your food. So in a way, you'll have to see that as a way for the Americans to be able to accept this new way of life, waiting in these lines. Ooh, that logo, that is a little light. I'm going to post that. I'm going to take a screenshot and post it. When you see it, you'll probably see what I'm talking about. I will definitely post that logo on the Telegram. And yes, Brother Joe, definitely, definitely comes to Tribal Mercies. That is something that you pray about a lot. Being on that road, you just don't know. You have no idea. And it was raining just about the entire ride going back. The police were very, very active, but that was something that we just didn't expect. We didn't expect. And again, for families who were just at home or wherever they were, you know, they were probably, you know, gathered with their own families and then having no idea that their life would be taken away that day. But going back to the whole socialist and the socialism that's, you know, being brought here in America, I mean, a lot of people forget what it means to be thankful. They forget. They forget what it means to be appreciative in all things, giving thanks for what you do have, because there are so many right now who are without. So many that are without. Again, I mean, I've seen these lines. I was looking like, whoa. I mean, you saw my cars on top of cars on top of cars. And what really got me, really, really struck me, is that a lot of those cars weren't like clunkers. They weren't like, you know, beaters. Or I mean, these were very, very nice cars. So that got me to thinking that these are people who are accustomed to living a certain lifestyle. They're accustomed not only to have a just accustomed to what the things that are going to eat, but you know, as far as their work, their income, clothing and whatnot. And if all of a sudden here it is, COVID comes in and changes everything. Are you right there, Brother Alex? That is the big thing that has plagued America. That has plagued America is consumerism. You know, we live in a buy, you know, a real buy culture, which is driven by advertising, driven by want, driven by the breaking of commandment number 10. We see that. We see that so many people who are accustomed to a certain lifestyle, and all of a sudden now they are suddenly in need. They are in need. And now this is driven or driving even more food shortages. And I've seen this story that came across here in my state where these animals are also being used to destroy the food. I think a couple of weeks ago we talked about these pigs, these wild pigs that were roaming all over America. And then now here in Georgia, let me see if I can pull this up. There was this weird, like, I don't know, this worm looked like a snake. Let me see. I mean, this thing was, but because it had, like, no natural predator, it's like running rampant. Here in the state, I seen that one. There were these lizards that was about as big as dogs, and they were just eating up some of everything in southern Texas. And then looking in New York, and I guess the rat problem is being, like, overrun in the city. And, of course, you know, rats, they're going to eat. So there are various ways to bring about these food shortages. And now these animals are also being used to ensure just that. It's also going on. But at the same time, let me see, the Burmese python, no. Let me see, man. This thing here, what is this thing? It's, hold on. I looked at it like, what is this? Man. Okay, it's in Atlanta. Let me give a small excerpt from this. Okay, it says this slithery invasive species known as a shovel-headed garden worm is on the move in Georgia, including more than 100 possible sightings I mean, this thing is a beast. Also known as a hammerhead worm because of its distinctive half-moon head shape. They said this thing can grow to nearly a foot in length and is also mildly poisonous if handled due to a toxin secreted through the skin. So, I mean, these, and I guess we're talking about what it was eating, but it's called an invasive species. So when it comes to the food, these things are destroying food. They're destroying crops. They're destroying vegetation, along with these humongous lizards. And a lot of these things, man, I'd be kind of suspicious of them. Because you know what, a lot of these experiments that they do, you'd be kind of like, what are they doing? What are they doing? Are they releasing these different experiments into the environment to create this chaos? Because this is just something that, I don't know what this thing is. I'm definitely going to post it because it's just what it looks like. The shape of this thing is very, very, very strange. Strange indeed. But again, just going back to, you know, being thankful and being reminded, as always, of who was in control. Who was in control? Still, God is in control. You know, things, as Brother Joe just pointed out, are going to get worse. They are going to get worse than what they are right now. And every single day, the articles continue, the news stories continue. There's always something, it seems like. This is all prophetic. Every single thing. It's all prophetic to remind us of who is in control. Everything we're seeing right now, worldwide, everything, it's just setting the stage for the coming close of this earth's history. We already know there's going to be a world government. And the movement towards that government is moving at a breakneck speed, as it was prophesied. I mean, take the NWO or the Great Reset as it is being penned. I mean, now that same Great Reset is targeting children. I mean, just think about what Pastor was talking about earlier with the cartoons and how they were brainwashing and indoctrinating kids. I mean, even me, even myself. And I had sat down with my kids about a month ago, maybe a little longer than that, and I came across this documentary where this group had put together different segments of cartoons based on the generation. So I was looking at, okay, these are one of the ones that I grew up on. And I was just going through with my kids, you know, they were just showing like a little excerpt, so to speak, of what the cartoon was about, and I guess a little intro music. And I was going through with my kids and we were looking. And what looked so innocent, then I'm looking at it as an adult, I'm like, whoa, that is outright devil worship, that's sorcery, that's alchemy, all of that. You're just looking at it like, whoa. And as a parent, then I'm assuming my mom had no idea. She had absolutely no idea. You know, just you take your kids, put them in front of the television, and just let them watch TV, the cartoons, they're enlightened, they're good to go. But then you get older as an adult and you look at this stuff, the same stuff you grew up on, you're like, no, that is horrible. And that was the cartoons from the 80s. I can only imagine what they are now. I can only imagine if the movies are the way they are now, if television is the way they are now, if music is the way it is right now, I can only imagine how the cartoons are. But this is all targeting the children. It's targeting the kids. And speaking of child manipulation, I mean, this is something that I grew up on. Let me pull this article up here. This is something that I grew up on. I'm imagining a lot of you all grew up on if you are 30, 40, 50, you know, in that age range. This is Sesame Street. This is Sesame Street. They're now pushing on kids the Great Reset. They are pushing on kids the New World Order. let me read this. I might end up reading this whole article. It's not maybe like 5 to 10 minutes in length. Well, let's look at this here. This is Sesame Street. Sesame Street has teamed up with the World Economic Forum to make a series of videos educating, and someone, I guess, whoever wrote this article had the word brainwashing. I guess they did a little strike through, but went back and put the word educating children about the vital importance of learning to live with the new normal. Get accustomed to that word, because, or that phrase, because they're using it quite often. New normal, new normal, new normal. The article goes on to say, of wearing of masks, maintaining 6 feet social distancing, gratefully accepting their vaccine shots, which is right around the corner, right there, getting used to not playing with friends in person, but just meeting them virtually on a screen. On a World Economic Forum podcast called The Great Reset, Resetting Education with Sesame Street, the blue Sesame Street puppet Grover tells his impressionable young listeners, and these are all the Sesame Street characters. At first it was hard when nobody could go to school, and I could not visit my friends like Elmo or even Oscar, but now we've learned to have video playtime. It was a lot of fun and made me feel better. So when you think about that, you know, when you're engaging in a video, you're idle. You're sitting down. You know, how are the kids going to be able to get that exercise, that bodily movement when they're playing, when they're at recess, and they're being involved in some type of physical activity? Now it's different. Put them in front of a screen and get accustomed to being in front of the screen, you know, with the headset on and being in front of the screen. And what this does, that inactivity, what it does when you sit for so long, what it does to your back, what it does to your eyes, what it does to your head. And I think I just saw a meme with my daughter. We'll be looking at the same thing about the effect of virtual learning, what it does to these kids when they're sitting for long periods of time without that break, without being able to get out and be physical, what it's doing to them. And now here we have these cartoon, you know, this show targeting children that's telling them to be comfortable with this, to get used to this, because this is going to be the new normal. Get used to it. Going on with the article, just in case any children fail to understand that the Great Reset is their friend, Grover is on hand to make a hilarious joke about it. I know a thing about resetting. I reset my alarm clock every morning. Then he adds, resetting the entire world. That is a very big job. So here they go. They're being bold. They're being bold to show these kids. Well, this is the world they're coming in. When you show the 6-year-old, the 7-year-old, the kids who are under 10, this is the world they're coming up in. They're coming up with the technology. They're coming up with the AI. They're coming up with the robotics. They're coming up with everything that is mostly artificial. Even their food is artificial. Totally artificial. And being pushed on them by cartoons, being pushed on them in the school system, being pushed on them by these children's shows, and now they're thinking everything is just corrupt. The article goes on to say, at no point, obviously, does Grover the sock puppet raise the possibility that the world might not actually need or want a Great Reset, because it doesn't. It doesn't need it. It doesn't need this at all. But look what's in the driver's seat for this. It's all COVID. This whole health crisis is driving this thing forward, and it's not going to stop. It is not going to stop. As many of them, of these world leaders, have already came forward and said that this is forever. We're not going to stop with this. We are not going to stop. We're going to continue with these plagues. We're going to continue with these pandemic simulations. We're going to continue to push these vaccines. We're going to continue to push this upon the people. In a separate video, one of a series, Grover encourages young children to wear a mask, and maintain 6-foot social distancing in public. Gotta maintain. I mean, you gotta show this to the kids. This is what they want, to have the children accustomed to this stuff. Again, neither Grover nor his controllers at the workshop appear to be aware that these are deeply contentious positions, that many parents would be strongly opposed to their children wearing masks. Yes, and this is where the parents have to get involved. When you love your children, you have to be involved in what they do, involved in everything, because you're that parent. But when you all just place them in front of a television, or you just send them to these government schools for 8-9 hours out of the day, and that's where they're getting their learning. That's where they're getting their teaching. That's where they're getting their education. That's where their way of life is being molded and shaped before them. So they're accustomed to wearing these masks, accustomed to being 6-7 feet apart from their classmates, accustomed to having on these face shields, accustomed to having this plexiglass in front of them, accustomed to having these tracing apps and following them wherever they go. They're accustomed to washing their hands every 5 minutes. All of this. We're accustomed to sitting in front of a screen because of the virtual learning. It's great reset. Push it upon these kids. And then it goes on, and it's also in this article, talking about the vaccines, where they use one of the kids' most lovable characters. I remember my daughter, when she was younger, how they had this huge Elmo craze. And these kids, I forgot what this thing was. I mean, it was like this huge holiday gift, and we did celebrate. And it was just I forgot what this thing was. I know it was an Elmo. I forgot what it did, but it was huge. And it was a huge attraction for the kids. And if you was a parent at that time, you just had to get it for your child. You just had to. You was not a parent. That's the way that the television shaped it. You was not a parent if you did not get this toy for your child. So they used this beloved Sesame Street character, Elmo, to push the vaccine, to push the shot. On a separate video, another Sesame Street character, Elmo, is shown going to the doctor to get his vaccine and reassuring the kids that it's okay. Everything's perfectly fine. But there's no mention of the side effects, no mention of what this... Oh, yes, that's exactly what it was. Thank you, Todd. It was that Tickle Me Elmo. That's exactly what it was. That is exactly what that thing was. And like I said, you was not even considered a parent if you did not get that for your child. If you didn't get it. And that was all the craze that year. It was all the craze for that Elmo. And they used this. They used this particular puppet and show that it has no issue when it comes to getting a shot. And seeing that the rollout is right around the corner. Or so they claim, and they keep saying this, they're doing deliveries within a week or two, despite all the side effects, despite the 95% effectiveness, the 90% effectiveness, everything they come up with, they're determined to keep pushing this, determined, despite all the evidence that's downplaying this vaccine, the total need for it. But they continue to push it. And you see in that video the other day what Brother Nick just posted about the teaching of the way people are taught about viruses. They don't even exist in the way we've been told. They do not exist in the way we've been taught. And this even goes back to Rockefeller on how he used that. He used that. The lack of understanding, the ignorance of the people, and he used it to make millions in the oil industry. Not just billions. I'm setting that number low. From what was deemed as natural and effective remedies. But you can't make a profit off of it. You can't make a profit off of going into your garden. You can't make a profit off of herb. You can't make a profit off these things. But you can make a profit off pharmacy. You can make a profit off these drugs that do absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But when you promote the fear, but when you keep it before the people, COVID, and you keep coming up with all these ridiculous numbers. I mean, absolutely ridiculous numbers where COVID is spiking, cases are spiking. And you would just think, just looking around, based on what the media is saying, based on what television is saying, that people are just dropping like flies. You couldn't even go outside in the open air because, oh, I'm not going out here today because this might be my day. I'm gonna die. Because, hey, this threat is very, very real. You just see the numbers are just through the roof. It's through the roof. And because of the fear, because of the panic, people are just looking forward to this shot. They're looking forward to it just to get back to their normal way of life. And now, if you see in a lot of these studies, well, I don't know. I don't even know who they even studying these on, because I haven't participated in any of these studies. I'm sure any of you have not. But they say, well, maybe 42% of Americans, in one of the articles I've seen, will not take the shot. So what do? They go after the employers. They go after the industries. Or they say, well, we're going to have to make this mandatory because we don't want you having these employees here that are going to infect your business sector. Or if you do, guess what? We're going to have an impact on your healthcare premiums. Because now that's affecting all of us as a company. And we don't want that. So you're going to have to make your vaccine mandatory. Or they'll find a way to get into their pockets. And this is why they go out to the children. Well, they know a lot of, the 40-somethings, the 50-somethings will not accept it. But the kids whose minds are fragile, the kids whose minds are learning, who are open, are being given these ideas, given this way of thinking, that, hey, when you're sick, this is your cure, a pill. Hey, when you're sick, this is your cure, a shot. This is all you need. This is all you need. And that's another thing. When it comes to the thank you, Brother Joe, thank you for putting that in the room. When it comes to the CARES Act, the amount of money they can present to people to take these shots, there's the amount of money just for a doctor to put a COVID patient, to list a patient as having COVID. I think the number was like $30,000. I could be wrong. I think it was either $19,000 for a COVID patient, maybe $30,000 for a ventilator. It's unreal. It's unreal. I mean, my stepdad was just in the hospital the other day because he had an issue with his kidneys. And my mom said that he was waiting for hours and hours on end because the emergency room was just overrun with COVID patients. They had one floor just dedicated to COVID. And this is a pretty fairly sized hospital, so you just imagine for each one of those beds, each one of those patients, that's money. That is money. And that is money for people who are just having a regular cough, a regular cold. And they go in and get swabs, and the doctor deems them as having COVID. And immediately when you get this, the brain, it kind of works against people. Because they hear so much about the devastation that COVID does. And all the being terrible and all the different issues. So when they hear this, it's just like when I'm diagnosed with like cancer or diagnosed with AIDS. You know, immediately they're thinking, oh man, this is it. This is it. This is it for me. I only have but a short amount of time to live. So a lot of people, they do themselves an injustice by allowing these doctors to pronounce these diagnoses upon them. Yet the hospital's overrun. They're absolutely overrun, they claim. It is outright propaganda that they push, and the fact that they're using our children, using these cartoons, using these shows, makes it even worse. Helping the children to re-educate their own parents, to show them that vaccines are good when they're not. And then when you as a parent go against it, you're labeled as a bad guy. Or you're labeled as, you're a conspiracy theorist or whatever it may be. I mean, there's some things that they even deemed to be conspiracy theories years and years ago that are all of a sudden now not so conspiracy theories anymore. Take like UBI, Universal Basic Income. Oh, we'll never get like that. That'll never happen. Giving everyone a certain amount every month, that'll never, never happen. Well, look at the stimulus check. Look at the stimulus, which I never got. I've never seen one. But look at the stimulus. And so many people now are comfortable being paid not to work. Are comfortable when they have the ability to work. There's a big difference between having the ability and are able and can actively go and search versus being at home and just actively collecting a check. Not knowing what it does to the economy, not knowing that what printing money does increases more debt. Hyperinflation. They don't see these things. All this is like, okay, I can just sit at home. I can get a check. I can be okay. Not even seeing the end result. And are comfortable with it. Same ones who said even mandatory vaccines were a conspiracy theory. But here they are right around the corner. Saying that travel papers were a conspiracy theory. Same thing. We're now in certain countries that you got to show evidence of either negative COVID tests or some type of proof that you've been vaccinated. Just to be able to fly or get on a train or any type of public transit. But again, these were all conspiracy theories. And yet seeing that these are here and they're present. They're coming to fruition. Now they even have AI to help people determine what is conspiracy theory and what's not. It's unreal. It's absolutely unreal. And that is all in the laziness of the people. To get up and do their research, to get up and work. Proverbs talks about that. Proverbs 21:25. The desire of a slothful man killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Refuse to labor. And now with the holiday shopping period coming up, oh man, this you go on in that same passage, the very next verse. He coveted greedily all the day long. All the day long. And so when people are looking, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. Like, how are you able to afford this stuff? How? How is this even a concern? You can't wear it. You can't eat it. America has not seen adversity, but it soon will. It soon will. That first wave of the pandemic, it crippled the small businesses. A lot of the mom and pop stores, a whole lot of them were just down, never to recover, never to reopen again. Never to reopen. And now here you go with the second wave. The second wave. Well, you would think that with yesterday being, I guess, one of the biggest days as far as shopping. But a lot of these businesses were hurt because of COVID. So what does that do to their bottom line? When they've been waiting, they rely on the end of the year for all of their sales, for all of their profit, for all of their income, and now they're not getting anything. Because more people are turning to the big businesses. Turning to the Amazon, turning to the Walmart, turning to more to online shopping. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was expecting, because even my family, a lot of the weight after Thanksgiving dinner, they're immediately going to these various stores. Oh, no one went anywhere. And I was amazed by that. I kept asking, like, hey, what y'all got going on? And nobody's going out. Nobody left nowhere. And then different media outlets were going out, and they were just showing how a lot of these malls were just empty. They were empty. This is strange. This total transfer of wealth. So instead of the people now, instead of going out in these physical buildings, now they're on the inside, now they're on the couches. As that passage says in Proverbs, going back to 21, verse 26, about that coveting greedy all the day long. But look at the B part of that same passage. But the righteous giveth and spareth not. You got to have a lot of love in your heart to be able to give. And with all this iniquity that's waxing, with all this iniquity abound, this passage talked about earlier, but you don't have that love. How could you be a cheerful giver? How can you be? Everybody's like, oh, give me. This is what I want. I want to buy this, buy that. How much different your life changed when you are in a position to give, but many aren't because they're driving themselves into debt. And this whole COVID and pandemic has made it even worse upon Americans. But now they're feeling what real adversity is. This is why those fool's lines are like they were. It is utterly ridiculous. But again, it's going back to knowing who is in control, who to put your faith and who to put your trust into in these times. The clinging to God's promises, to clinging on His written word. And so many of these churches now are not even setting His truth before the people because they know if they were, it's going to cut them apart and they're going to get out of those churches. Like, hey, I don't need to be in this right here where y'all doing this and doing that. And God says, no. But they're comfortable. They're comfortable using the entertainment, comfortable, and they're wondering why there's no power in their churches. So they're comfortable going completely against the written word in order to fill up seats. And I know we've seen the article about the one church that in order to avoid a shutdown, they had transformed their church or rebranded as a strip club. And I'm just reading little bits and pieces. I mean, there were actual members of the church who were going in front of. They relabeled it as praise dancing, but I guess the members were going up there taking off their ties and taking off their shoes and saying that they were stripping for God. Like, this can't be serious. This cannot be serious. But in order for them not to have their doors shut up on them, this is what they do. Instead of allowing that trust, instead of allowing the power of God to prevail, then I come across others and still others of just wondering why are they doing what they do. And this was one I seen with these with I guess it was lesbian I guess transgender. I have no idea. But there was a woman preacher. There was a woman preacher. And, matter of fact, let me just play this. This is a small little clip. I was extremely confused by this. I looked at it probably about 4 or 5 times, and I was trying to see the origin of it. But you can tell it's definitely something that's geared toward the LGBT community. Definitely geared towards them. And let me see. Okay, I got it right here. This is from this November 23rd, just a couple of days ago. And I'm going to play this so you guys can hear it. What this lady is going to say. It's only a minute. All right. Here we go.
Today we choose to recognize, honor, love, and celebrate anyone here who would claim their identity publicly as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender,
that's a congregation full of kids.
Intersex, pansexual, asexual, or any category that I've left out.
And this one kid comes up.
This is Phoenix.
You're a little shy.
It's a boy in a dress.
Is it a boy or a girl? I just want to say that I'm a girl.
Okay, you can tell them that.
Okay.
Phoenix would like you to know that she's a girl and she prefers she and her pronouns.
The boy was so shy. And he had to turn around and ask his mom because he didn't even know what to say. And you can completely see that his mother is 100% in on this. She brings him up there on the stage or before the pastor. And this table is laden with just rainbow everything. They got a little rainbow tablecloth. The pastor herself has on this rainbow robe. And the boy, he's just looking like, it is sad. It is very, very, very sad. And this is a church. This is a church. I'm going to post it in the Telegram. This is a church. And he had to turn to his mom just to feel confident in this. Because, again, you can tell that she's totally, you know, egging him on to say this. And he's got a dress on and everything. And he's 7 years old. And when you look, again, you know, she's over here addressing these the congregation for anyone that identifies one of these different pronouns or different terms or whatever. And right there on the front were nothing but kids. Nothing but kids. To go up there and give their confessional or give their conversion. And this is horrible. This is absolutely horrible. But when I looked at it, I noticed, like, hey, this is supposed to be a church. It's supposed to be a church. And this is what they're doing to the children. And we already know what is written in the Word of God on how our Lord feels about those who do these things to children, to kids. Just all the timing of this, what they're doing, everything is just downright despicable. But they're going to draw the people into the churches. This is what they use. But again, it's cannot forget who is in control. Who's in control of all of this, despite people who say, well, our world will be better, or America will be better if this candidate wins, or if that candidate wins, going back to this whole election. And even take that for an example. With Biden, I mean, there's so much tampering in this entire election. So much fraud is being exposed and put out there. No matter where you look, you're like, how in the world did this man even win this? There's so much. And then now they give these more these rumors. More these rumors between Iran. I guess a good scientist over there was just assassinated. And they show Biden's position on Israel. And the reason I bring that up, because all the churches they preach, you know, the 7-year trib, they preach these things. And my thought has been, well, how is the Vatican going to deceive the people to that extent to be able to pull this off? To pull this off between the UFOs and the fake rapture, how are they going to be able to pull this off to get the people to that point where they are just, even they already are? What would they use? But with Trump, I mean, the way this thing is going, it can go all the way up to the Supreme Court. To the Supreme Court. And a lot of this got to be, I guess, got to be knocked or pretty much solidified by the 14th of this month coming up. And we already know the chaos that's going to ensue when he's announced as the president. Outright chaos. It could easily trouble a civil war. But praise God, because a lot of these things that we see before us, he allows it to be exposed, to see it. We can recognize it. For one, flee from it. And for two, to warn others, like, hey, you don't want to be involved with this. You don't. You don't want to be involved with the elections. You don't want to be involved with anything the world has to offer. You don't. And also not to be discouraged about this. I mean, to paraphrase what Jesus said in Luke 21. And when we see all these things taking place, when we see them taking place, just know that, hey, your redemption is drawing closer and closer than you could even imagine. Closer and closer. See, be focused on these worldly things, these what's going on around us. It was all prophesied to happen. All of it. And seeing how fast things are going, how everything just changed in just a short amount of time. Even this past year, just 2020 as a whole. All the anarchy, with all the chaos, with all the rioting, the fires, terrorism, all of it. It's going to increase, but it is no time to despair. No time. Our Lord is coming very, very, very soon. Even with the fears that they put before us with our dying planet and with climate change, still, do not fear. Do not fear. And it's interesting when it comes to this word, change, and it's what they'll use to enforce the mark. We serve a God who changes not. He doesn't change. But it's also interesting what Solomon says here in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 21 and 22. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Given to change. For what? For their calamity shall rise suddenly. These same ones who are saying peace, 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 peace. What's going to happen? Sudden destruction. For their calamity shall rise suddenly. And who knoweth the ruin of them both? But there is a way that God set before us, and that way does not change. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. As it is written, I'll close out with this right here. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, man's goings are of the Lord. How could a man then understand in some way? So many are lost and confused about what they need to do, where they need to go, their thoughts, their actions. Give them to Jesus. Give them to Him. Give them to Him. Set Him before Him daily. And you'll be okay. I know things seem kind of grim. I know things seem kind of bleak. But it's only going to get worse from this day forward. The time to prepare the heart and the mind for what is coming or what is already transpiring is now. There is no time to wait. Just as, you know, Pastor talked about this earlier. And many sermons. I mean, we're going to wait till you get old and in grave to decide, like, hey, now's the time. Like, no, when you're able. When you're able, when you're in your right mind, I mean, who knows? You always might have, you know, Alzheimer's or something. You might not be able to remember it. Dementia, who knows? Why wait? And when you're in your sound mind and you're able, the time is then and there. Time is then and there. Because judgment is coming upon America, and it's sooner than we could ever imagine. Okay. And again, I apologize for my voice. It is kind of shaky, not sick or anything. It was just a lot of family members you ain't seen in a long time. You know, I guess in the South, it's just always a lot of hollering. Everybody like, hey, and, you know, just I hadn't seen them since we were like very, very, very small. And it just brings a joy upon your heart. I do have a lot of family members that, it's a little bit older than me, so I'm younger than me that have already passed on. I just had to bury a cousin about a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, she was just 46 years old. She just passed away, had a stroke. Next thing I know, she was gone. So, count our days and we use them. Be thankful for every single one that we have. All right, 5 o'clock hour is upon us. And Brother Sean, where beef you? Is he at home? Let me see. I don't see him in the turbo meeting. Let me see. Put a little PM to him. Oh, there he be. There he is, right on time there, brother. I'm going to drop my mic and go in here and squeeze me some lemon and some honey to try to break up this frog in my throat. And the next voice you will hear will be that of Brother Sean. All right, Sabbath blessings, everyone.